We're glad to have the Gibsons with us this morning. The Gibsons, that's Brother Barrett and Sister Eugenia, as well as their children, Nathaniel and Jonah. They're going to be missionaries in Nicaragua. And so right now they're itinerating, they're raising funds, they're raising support so that they can get out there and do their ministry. Amen? And so we as a church will be supporting them, and all that you will be giving to them today will be in support of them, allowing them the ability to go out there and minister in Nicaragua. Amen? Amen? And so without further ado, please come up and introduce yourselves to the congregation, and then we will move forward from there.
Amen. Bendiciones a todos. God is good. Amen. I just want to thank you, pastors, for this opportunity to be with you today. It's an honor and a privilege. Y somos Barrett, Eugenia, Nathanael y Jonah Gibson.
Y somos misioneros, ¿ah?
No, I'm not ready yet. Nicaragua! He said, "Flammy."
Oh, good morning. God bless you, all of you. My English is work in process, but I'm getting there. And when I get the English, I gotta go to Nicaragua and speak Spanish again. So, my son today is tired. We've been traveling a lot the past few months, so he's like, "I'm not going up there today." He's done, and we have another holy year to itinerate. Here we have a prayer card. Behind there we have our table. Before leaving, if you want to grab a card and be praying for us, we really appreciate it. We need prayers so much. This is a hard season that we are itinerating, but we know the Lord is in control. I say that first because then I just forget about the prayer card. But like I said, thank you so much for having us today. He wants all the attention, always. When we are here itinerating, just to tell you a little bit about me, and then I just take him down. I let my husband keep going with the service. I'm from Argentina. I was raised and born in Argentina. I met my husband there in 2012. He was down there, and the Lord did those things. I didn't speak one word in English. He didn't speak almost nothing in Spanish. And we use a Google Translate, which don't use it. Like my husband said, and if you are in love with someone, you will write crazy things, and the translation, you don't want that. It's really bad. But the Lord was good. One day we were just having a coffee, and of course we talked. And in 2012, the internet, and in Argentina, wasn't like here. Like, you put something in Translate, and you got to wait 15 minutes until the thing translate what you want to say. So this day we were in a coffee, drinking a coffee in a coffee shop. And I was telling him really deep things about my life. And he was telling me things about the calling and everything. And was like God opened his ears to understand all my Spanish. Wait, buddy. Later. Wait, let you say something else. What you want to say? What you want to say?
He says flammy.
Okay. I'm sure he does. So anyway, we could understand and we could communicate. Since then, was just a miracle how God worked things in our life. And well, then we got married. We came to U.S. and I got pregnant with my kids, and I have another one on the way, another boy, so we please prayers decide, 3 boys. But so once I get here, you get in this country the comfort. I said yes to the Lord to missions before I met him, and that was easy. When you are single, you're ready to go, you want to take the world for you. It's just amazing the strong that you have. But then when you got your kids and you are in a place where all the comfort, and you think all that you can give to your kids in this country. For me, it was hard again to say, yes, the Lord, let's do it. Because as a mom, I was like, oh, I got to take my kids now, take them back to a country. I don't know what will happen there. But once we say yes to the Lord, it's amazing how he put things in order in our life. even put that call in our kids. I will go down in a second. Put that call in our kids too, that passion for people, that passion for evangelize and for see people coming to the Lord. So there are nothing like being doing what God called us to do. So that's a blessing, and it's a privilege to be here today with all of you. And we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything. Let me take it.
Well, I just want to share a little bit of my testimony. I gave my life to Jesus in 2002 at a healing crusade. And so it was in that moment that I knew that God had called me to ministry, but I wasn't sure exactly what that was. And so it was about 4 years later, God would take me down to Pensacola during the Brownsville Revival. And through that, I had the opportunity to go to Argentina be part of a conference down there. And so it was in Argentina that the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to learn Spanish, and I was going to use you in Latin America. And so I said, okay, God, if that's you, then I want to be used by you, but you have to give me the language of Spanish, because, you know, that was something I just never really wanted to learn. I thought it was difficult and hard, but God is working, amen. And so later, the Lord took me back down to Argentina a couple years later. I had an opportunity to study abroad, to study Spanish, and that's where I met my beautiful wife, Eugenia. So today, together, we're approved as career missionaries to Nicaragua. Just got approved in March, and looking forward to hopefully going maybe by the end of this year even, getting down there to maybe Costa Rica first to continue missionary training and some language training, and then off to Nicaragua. So we're excited. So I want to share, before I get into the message today, I want to share a quick video with you. This is a video where we have been in Cuba the last several years. My wife and I have had a privilege and honor to be part of our central district as evangelism pastors, missions pastors, and we've been working a little bit in Cuba. So I'm going to go ahead and play that video real quick. So some of the same things that you'll see in the video as we play the video of Cuba is some of the same things we want to do in Nicaragua. So you'll see some similarities there. Amen. God is doing great things around the world. Amen. So I wanted to show this video really quickly with you so you can kind of get an idea of some of the same things that God has called us to do in Nicaragua. Nicaragua is a country in Central America. It's the largest country in the area, and it has about 6 million people. And out of the 6 million people, there are about 4 million that have yet to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so we feel called to evangelize as evangelism and to see as many people come to Christ as possible. And so some of the ways to do that is through crusade type evangelism. So as you saw the video in Cuba, we were able to kind of do like a small event with 600-700 people and be able to feed the people in Cuba and also preach the word. And so we want to be able to do some of those same type of things in Nicaragua. We just recently had the opportunity to speak with some of the leaders of the Assembly of God Church in Nicaragua. And there are about 8 different regions. And so as you get outside of the capital of Managua, where we'll be based out of, there's not a lot of Christian churches in the areas. And so our heart and vision is to get into different areas where there's not a Christian church, and to begin to help establish one. And so one way to be able to do that is do kind of like a crusade event where we'll have a tent and we can invite people to come, maybe a tent that fits 300-400 people. And as pastors and leaders and people are coming out of Bible college in Managua and feel led to pastor, they'll come alongside of us as well. And so we'll hold an event for maybe 15 nights, 30 nights, and preaching the gospel message of Jesus and seeing people come to Christ and praying for the sick to be healed. And then in the daytime, do more discipleship training with youth, children, adults, And so the idea would be, as we leave and call to a next area, that the people that gave their life to Christ, they have a church that's already formed, and then the pastors and leaders that are with us will begin to continue the discipleship training and to actually continue to plant that church. And so that's kind of the heart of what God's placed on our heart for Nicaragua, is to help establish churches, also help reach a community for Christ and really get back to the community. I'm sure we'll do a lot of other things as well, as, you know, children's programs, but we'll also do things like feeding and giving out clothes and you know, humanitarian types of things as well. But we're excited for what God's going to do, and we thank you so much for being a part of it. We thank you for your prayers and your support and financial support. Without it, we couldn't be there. So we're thankful for you all today. So I want to speak today from the book of Romans 11 through 15. So Romans 10, 11 through 15. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. Vamos a orar. Gracias, Señor, por este día, Señor. Gracias por todo tú nos das. Gracias por cada persona que está en ese lugar. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just go before us today, God, that you would speak your words, Lord. Let it not be mine, but yours, for your glory and your honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, according to missionary statistics, there are about 7.1 billion people living on earth today. And so out of that 7.1 billion people, there are many people that have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ, but they have yet to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And something that I find actually very shocking is that there are 2.9 billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, that have never heard the gospel message. And I find it shocking today because we live in a world with so much technology, where today we're actually streaming on Facebook and reaching not only people in our local community, but all around the world. And so with that technology, you would thought we would have reached everyone at this point. Or even with the different ways of traveling now through airplanes, we can get, you know, pretty much anywhere in the world in a short amount of time. But there are still people here today that have yet to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is calling us today. He's calling all of us here to be his mouthpiece and to go into all the world until everyone has had a chance to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. And so I want to read a quote from A.W. Tozer. And he said, God wants us to worship him. He doesn't need us, for he couldn't be a self-sufficient God and need anything or anybody, but he wants us. And so when Adam sinned, it was not he who cried out, God, where art thou? But it was God who cried out, where art thou? And what I love about this quote is that it's so true, that we do serve an all-powerful God, an all-self-sufficient God. And if he wanted to, the Lord could evangelize the whole entire world by himself. But what I love about the Lord is that he loves you, and he loves me, and he loves us so much that he has chosen us to be his partners, and he's chosen us to be his mouthpiece and the tool that he uses to spread his gospel message around the world. Amen? I can tell you today, we're living in different times. We're living in a time of a pandemic, something that I've never lived through, and I don't think anyone here has lived through a pandemic. And so with the trying times, we're also seeing different things take place in our government and our world situations. We're seeing, I believe, persecution that's coming to the church, and just different difficult times that we're seeing and facing. And with that, you know, a lot of people are beginning to ask in the church, you know, is this the hour that Jesus Christ is coming back? Is this the time of the return of our Messiah? And if you were to ask me that question today, do I believe that Jesus is coming back in our very lifetime? What I would tell you is that it's possible. We are to live as if Jesus is coming back in this very moment. But I could not tell you if he's coming now or if he's coming in 1,000 years from now or when he'll come. The Bible says that no man knows the hour or the time of the return of our Messiah. Amen? But something today that I can tell you with a lot of certainty, great certainty, is that even though I do not know how many years each and every one of you have left to live on this earth, including myself, or maybe not even years, but seconds, hours, minutes, whatever that time may be, I don't know how much time each of us has to live. But unless we live a very, very long time, I'm very certain that within 100 years, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so it really doesn't matter today if Jesus comes in this very moment or if he tarries for another 1,000 years. But the thing is that we're all going to stand before his judgment seat one day. Amen? And so the question today that we ought to ask ourselves, and I ask myself, is, what have we done for Jesus with the time that he has given us on this earth? And how many people have we reached with the gospel message of Jesus Christ? And so today, it doesn't matter if you've been the greatest evangelist for Christ and you've witnessed to hundreds of people, thousands of people even, or today if you haven't spoke to one person about Jesus. What matters is what we do from this moment on and for the rest of our lives until we meet Jesus. Amen? And so there are many people here. Again, they may have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ, but they haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it doesn't mean that we don't give up on those people, that we just stop preaching the message of Christ to them, because we never know when the Holy Spirit will move upon them and they will give their life to Jesus. And so I just want to share a quick story with you, a testimony of evangelism and witnessing to people around us. Again, my wife and I had an honor and privilege to be pastors of evangelism and missions in our church in Denver. And so each Saturday, we would actually go out with our church, and we would go witnessing just in our local neighborhood. And we would go knock on doors and begin to witness and share God's love with people. And so one Saturday, we came to this precious lady's home. And she came out, and she began to talk to us, and she told us a story. She said, I used to be part of a Christian church, and something happened, and I got offended with one of the church members or the pastor or something of that nature. And so for a couple years, she hadn't been going to church anywhere. And she said that something interesting took place. She said a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, a group from a different religion actually came to my house, and they began to share their beliefs with me, and they shared a lot of love with me. And she said, I thought it was amazing that they came to my house. And she said, now you all are at my house as well, so I find it kind of strange. She said, because until you guys came, and a couple weeks ago, I've never had anyone ever come to my house at all. And so, as a Christian of Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man goes through the Father but through him. Knowing that we have our life eternal in Jesus, you know, my heart was saddened to hear that a different religion was at her home a couple weeks ago, and they were the first persons to arrive. So in my heart, I was thinking, where was the Church of Jesus Christ? Why weren't we there 3 or 4 weeks ago or earlier? But I can tell you that Jesus is always on time, amen? God knows what he's doing. He has everything planned out for his good, amen? And so we began to share a little bit more with her. We didn't debate the different religion. We didn't feel led by the Holy Spirit to debate or anything at that moment. But we just began to build that relationship. And so as we were leaving, we said, is there anything that we can do for you, or can we pray for you for anything? And she began to share that she had a daughter who lived in California who was getting ready to give birth to a baby boy, and that she was having a lot of issues in the pregnancy, and that it was a good chance that the baby could lose its life, and a good chance that her daughter could also lose her life in this pregnancy. And so we began just at that moment, began to share the message of Jesus Christ with her. And we began to tell her that, you know, we serve the only one true King, Jesus Christ. That Buddha won't save you, Muhammad won't save you, only Jesus Christ, and our hope is in him. And we said, not only is Jesus our Savior, but he's also a person that, thank you. Not only is he our Savior, but Jesus performs miracles and he heals people. And when he lived on this earth, he would heal people, and he's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he healed then, he'll heal now, and he'll continue healing for the glory of God. Amen. And so we began to pray, believing that God was going to do a miracle in her daughter's life and in the baby's life. And we prayed, believing, not knowing what was going to happen, but we knew God was going to do something. And so that day we left, and then we came back a week later. And so as we came back to the same house, and this time when we knocked on the door, she came out with tears in her eyes. And she says, you won't believe what happened. She said that as your church prayed for my daughter, and as you left my house, she said, in that very moment that you left, my daughter called me on the phone. And so it was in the moment that you were praying for my daughter that she felt something different inside of her. She called me and she said, I had been feeling really bad and really sick lately, but right now I'm feeling completely fine and completely normal for the glory of God. Amen. And so it was in the moment that we prayed, believing that Jesus touched her daughter and healed her completely. Amen. And then it was about probably a week later that she gave birth to a baby boy, and they were both completely healthy for the glory of God. And so we do serve an all-powerful God, and we do serve a God that continues to heal. Amen. And he's always on time. I mean, this was something that the Lord only could do. And he receives glory from it. And I can tell you other stories of just like this precious lady. There was other people that we would witness to, and they would begin to tell stories about how they had a daughter that had a heart condition, or they would say their grandma just passed away from cancer and our family's going through a very difficult time. Would you pray for us? Other people would confess of, you know, maybe being addicted to alcohol and wanting to be free from that. And so it was amazing to see the different things that the Lord did as we would go out and begin to share his gospel and his love with people all around our community. And so I tell you that today because I know here in Center, Colorado, there are many people just like this lady that are waiting for us to go and to share God's love. And no matter where you live, just around your neighborhood, maybe your next door neighbor, they're waiting for you to go and to share God's love and to proclaim his gospel and to give them hope and joy and a peace in Christ. Amen. And so, Lord, I thank you today, God. I thank you, God, that you are using us, God, that you are calling us to be your mouthpiece, God, and your hands and your feet, God. I pray, God, that you give us boldness today, God, to go out and to witness, God, and see people come to you, Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And so when it comes to missions and evangelism, true missions and evangelism can only come out of a heart of a believer that has an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And missionary David Platt said, the most important question I can ask you today is not, are you going to be a sender? When it comes to missions, in other words, are you going to send someone to the mission field? Are you yourself going to be a goer? In other words, you're going to be a missionary yourself. But the greatest question that I can ask you today is, does your heart beat for Jesus? And do you love Jesus with all your heart? Amen? Is there a passion inside of you? Is there a heart for God that's inside of you, a deep passion for him? Amen? And can we ask ourselves a question today? You know, how many hours do we find ourselves praying before the Lord? And I ask my own self that same question. You know, how many times are we praying for our lost loved ones, for our city, and for our nation to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? God is looking for a people that is intimate with him, that has a heart for the lost, that has a heart for their neighbors. Amen? And missions is important, but not only is missions important, but missions in our own backyard is important as well. And I want to share something about the importance of missions, something that I heard from a pastor that I thought was great. And he said that when it comes to missions, there are two types of people. There are those that God calls to the mission field, maybe to the deepest jungles of Africa or to Peru or wherever it may be. For us, it's God's calling us at this point to Nicaragua. Or God could be calling you to pray for missionaries, to support missionaries with your finances and your prayers. But it doesn't matter if God's called you to be a missionary, a foreign missionary, or God's called you to pray for missionaries and support them. We're all equally important in this mission that God has called us to be on. Amen? And so I want to share an illustration to kind of show you more in depth of what I'm saying. So we'll say that there's a missionary, and we'll say this missionary goes down into a well, and we'll call this well missions. And so as this missionary goes down into this well, there's a rope that he holds on to, and so he begins to climb down, holding on to this rope as he goes down deep into this well of missions. And so as he begins to labor for Christ, and as he begins to, as Jesus begins to win people to himself through this missionary, his hands begin to be worn and to begin to be torn by the rope that he's holding on to. And so as he's climbing down this well and his rope is tearing his hands as he labors for Christ, he didn't just tie this rope to a tree. That's where actually all you are today. You're above this well, and you're also holding on to this rope as well. So you're holding on to the actual full weight of that missionary and that family as they serve Christ. And so as you hold on to that weight of the missionary and as he labors for Christ and you labor with Christ through your prayers and finances, that rope also begins to wear and tear on your hands as well. And so your hands are also being worn and torn. And so I say that today because it is a mission that we're all a part of. And it doesn't matter if God's called you to be the missionary, the one to support missionaries. When we get to heaven, we're all going to receive the same reward from Jesus. Amen? We're going to receive the same thing. Amen? And so in Isaiah 55:6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." And do we know the Lord today so intimately that there is something that is birthed inside of us where we actually feel the burden of the Lord? Amen? Where we can actually feel his heart and we can actually see people through the eyes of Christ and how he sees them. Amen? It's God's plan that no man shall perish, but they will have everlasting life through him, through his redemptive work on the cross for our sins. Amen? And does our heart burn today for Jesus that his heart becomes ours? I believe that the Lord is also looking for a people today, a people that will speak the words of Jeremiah 20, verse 9, as if it was their own verse, and as they read it, the same verse as their own. And it says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in, and indeed I cannot." Amen? Amen. The prophet Jeremiah was a man that was used greatly by the Lord. And many times he had a word from the Lord that was very strong, and it was talking about the coming wrath of God and the need for repentance unto the Lord. And so many people didn't like that, and they were angry with Jeremiah, and so they would persecute him. And so Jeremiah would many times run for his life and have to hide different times of his life. And so I believe that in the flesh of Jeremiah, just like in our own flesh today, I'm sure that Jeremiah would probably have rather done something different, something that would not cost him his life. Amen? But there was something that was greater inside of Jeremiah than was his flesh, amen? And that was the fire of God that was inside of Jeremiah. That was the love he had for Christ. And it said to him, you know, woe to me if I do not preach the message of what I hear the Lord speaking. Amen. So whether we face little persecution in his life or we end up giving our lives to Jesus, is all worth it for the glory of God. Amen. And so I believe God is looking for that people that will speak those words that say, woe to me if I do not preach the message of Jesus Christ. Whether I face little persecution or I end up giving my life to Jesus, is all worth it for his glory. Amen. And so today, God wants to use you. We have all been called by God to proclaim his good news. And today, will you accept his calling on your life? And will you step out and begin to evangelize your city for Christ? Will you tell the Lord to take you deeper in your abiding time with him and ask you to give you his heart for the world? Amen? So I want to share one last thing in closing. Before I do, let's just pray. God, I just thank you, God. I just give you glory. I give you honor, Lord. I thank you for who you are, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for each person here today, God. And I pray, God, that you would give each person a boldness today, God, that you would baptize us again with your Holy Spirit with boldness, God. And Lord, that we would not fear, God, but we would be empowered, Lord, by you, Lord, to go out and to share your good news and your gospel with those that need to hear it, Lord. Lord, that you would put people in our past, God, where we would be able to speak to them your truth, Lord, and they would receive it, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you allow us to see people as you see them, God, and not as we see them, God, but we see them with your heart and your eyes in Jesus' name. And so before I close today, I want to share with you something that the Lord has placed upon my heart, something that I believe that the Lord has been speaking to me and about the church in this hour and the time that we're living in. And even though we're living in dark times, I believe God is going to do great things among the nations in this world. Amen. And John Wesley said that what one generation tolerates, the other one will embrace. And sadly, we are living in a generation that is beginning to tolerate sins and things that weren't even thought about 50 years ago or 100 years ago. They're now being promoted and embraced. And sadly, in many church arenas, there are things and sins that are being promoted. But I believe that we're also living in a great time, and the Lord is saying enough is enough, amen? And God is going to raise up a generation, a Joshua generation, that is arising in this hour that's going to stand up for righteousness, is going to stand up for holiness, and is going to not be afraid to call what sin is and to not call what good is good, amen? I believe the Lord is raising up his a remnant church in this hour. And you being here today and you watching online shows me that you are that remnant church, that Joshua generation that is arising. And so I asked the Lord, and I believe this is what he spoke to me about the pandemic. I asked the Lord, you know, what is going on? You know, different things are taking place and there's a lot of fear. And even in the church, there's a lot of people with fear. And what I believe the Lord spoke to me was that the Lord is doing great things in this hour and that there are things that the Lord wants to do. I believe even now, even though things are looking pretty dark, that, you know, we're closer to seeing abortion really ended in a lot of areas and hopefully, you know, in our nation than we've ever been before. And these are the type of things that the Lord really wants to do in this hour. And so the enemy knows that God is beginning to move and God is doing great things. And so I believe the enemy has allowed a spirit of fear to enter the world, and especially also in the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? And so today I'm not here to tell you that there's not a real virus and that people are not getting sick. We are to use precautions, and we are to use the wisdom that God has given us to protect ourselves and our families. But we cannot be given over to a spirit of fear where that's all we dwell on and where we allow the church to be crippled from continuing the work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I believe that what the Lord spoke to me is that we at this moment need to be praying more than ever. We need to be focused on Him more than ever. And so if a spirit of fear can come upon us, we begin to then focus ourselves on our own selves and our family and with our own problems. And if we stay in that state for such a long time, we begin to lose the ability to hear the voice of the Lord and to be able to hear what He's wanting to do. So that way we can't pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And so I believe it's critical that we focus on the Lord now more than ever. And we focus on what He's trying to do and what He's wanting to do so that we pray His will be done on earth. Amen? And so today, Lord, I just thank You, God. Lord, I give You praise and I give You glory and I give You honor, God. I thank You for each person here today, God. Lord, I thank You that You have called us all today to missions, God. And not only foreign missions, but right here in our own neighborhoods, God, there are many people that do not know You, God. And Lord, You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but You have given us a spirit of power and love of a sound mind, God. Lord, I pray, God, You would give us creative ways today, God, to witness to those around us, God, in this pandemic season, God, that You would use us to be the light, God. Lord, that You would be a light, Lord, that pierces the darkness in this hour, God, and that we would stand for righteousness, we'd stand for holiness, God, and that people would see You in us, Jesus, today, God. Lord, I thank You for every person here today, God. I give You praise, I give You glory, God. Lord, empower us, give us boldness, God, to be Your mouthpiece, Your witnesses, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Just want to thank each and every one of you again here today for allowing us to be here. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you, pastors, for allowing us to share our hearts and calling that the Lord has placed on our lives to go to be missionaries in Nicaragua. Thank you so much for all you do. We hope to see you next time we come through after itineration. But if not, maybe some of you can come down to Nicaragua and be a part of what God's doing there as well. So thank you and God bless.
Thank you so much. Amen. So when we support our missionaries, we're a part of the same team, as he's mentioned in his sermon. We're not working distant from each other or separate from each other. We're a part of the same team. Amen? And we always need to remember that. They are, in a sense, the hands or the voice of God that are out there in the field, but we're just as important. We're a body. Amen? And so as we support our missionaries, we are partaking of the same. And I like the way that he brought that out. We're going to receive the same rewards as they will because we're both in it together. Amen? So don't ever think that because you're here in Center Colorado and you're working hard, you know, and you're partaking of Center Assembly of God, that you're not a part of what's going on out there. As we're supporting our missionaries, as we're praying for our missionaries, we are partaking of the same work of God. Amen? And so thank you, Brother Barrett and Sister Eugenia, for everything that you will be doing. We will be praying for you as a church, and it's going to be our joy to support you as a church as well. And so we'll be sending in our thing to let that monthly support be there. The church has decided to support the Gibsons monthly. We'll be starting off as $30 a month. And so as we are blessed of the Lord, we'll continue to provide that to our missionaries. Amen? But think about this as well. They have cards, they have brochures that explain their ministry. The church will be supporting them, but you can support them as well personally and individually. And so if you feel on your hearts that they would be a missionary that you would want to support monthly, aside from what the church is already going to do, let the Lord lead you in that. Because you can do that too. Amen? And let me tell you something, you will never be able to outgive God. And as you support missionaries and as you support missions and ministry in general, God will bless you. Amen? And so thank God for the Gibsons and for the family Gibsons. Amen? For everyone. And we, again, look forward to all that God's going to do in your ministry there in Nicaragua. Amen? And so can you stand? Let's just have Brother Barrett stand. And Sister Eugenia, can you come here with your husband? And we're going to just say a prayer for them together. Amen. Let's all stand, and we're just going to point our hands towards them. If some of the guys want to go lay their hands on them, don't worry. The virus won't make it through this prayer. Amen. And so let's believe God to bless their ministry and all that they are going to do there in Nicaragua. We're going to pray that God will be with them in their itineration as they're raising funds. when they go there into Costa Rica, I'm sure maybe even some language school, maybe to help secure the language. And as God sends them out, let's pray believing. Amen? So let's pray. Let's all put our hands and let's put it towards the Gibsons. Lord, we thank you for this precious family. And Lord, right now we pray that you would be God Almighty in their lives, that you would lead and direct their steps as they're itinerating, as they're traveling. Lord, as they bear this burden of going everywhere, help the children. God, I pray that you would help, Lord God, both Barrett and Eugenia, Lord God, in all that they are doing. Give them the grace, the strength that they need. And we pray that as they travel, that the support that they need would come in quickly, that, Lord, they would be able to go, Lord, and begin this process of getting there to Nicaragua. We pray that, Lord, you would give the gift of language. Lord, that he would begin to learn the Spanish language, that it would come out smoothly without hesitation. We pray for Sister Eugenia, the same in English. Lord, we pray that you would use them as a team powerfully there in Nicaragua. We pray that you'd order their steps, guide them. We pray that you would be, Lord God, with their children. We pray you would watch over them, protect them, keep them in their going out, their coming in. We pray that you'd raise them up, shield them from the darts and any attack of the enemy. Raise these young boys up to be your hands extended as well. Bless this family. Keep them intimate with you. Guard their relationship. I pray that they would stay in tune and in touch with you, keeping their eyes like flint upon you alone. Go order their steps, Lord, and use them powerfully. Anoint them. Lord, let your anointing power be upon them as they minister. And we thank you for this family. We pray you would bless them. We pray that you would meet them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is going to be good. Amen.